Good morning, everyone. Warm welcome to you. And yes, I'm Bill, one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege this morning to have a time to chat with three people of our church who are involved in mission. So I'd like to invite Rocky to come up, please. Rocky, Mike, and Lissetti. Are you here this morning, Liz? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Good. Good morning. Morning, Mike. Morning, Rocky.
Oh, I'm doing well.
Anyone, you can sit with me, Liz. have a seat. You want to hold on to that?
Okay, thank you.
Right, this month has been very different than we've had in previous months. I should sit down, but it just doesn't feel quite right. But I'll get into it. Yes. So the last two Sundays, we've had a wonderful time of the first Sunday of month. We commissioned the Webbs to head over back overseas to South America. Last Sunday, we heard from Margie, and a challenging message from Margie. And if you haven't heard the message, I would really encourage you to go on our site and listen to her journey as a lady who's been on the mission field for many years and in a sense is still on the mission field here in New Zealand. And today we've come to this part of the service. Our theme for missions this month is here, there and everywhere. And today we're looking at here in New Zealand, here in Palmerston North. At the beginning of the year, the eldership came together, and with the leadership of the church, we believed that God was calling us to five things. First one, a deeper relationship with God marked by repentance from self-sufficiency and engagement through prayer. Secondly, being vulnerable with and caring deeply for one another. Thirdly, celebrate and develop our bicultural partnership. Fourth, sacrificially embrace our ethnic differences, valuing that we are all made in the image of God. Fifth, being visible and intentional agents of God's kingdom in Palmerston North and wider, in the wider world. And today we want to focus on what it means to be an intentional agent. Sounds quite Maxwell Smart, doesn't it, for those of you who know about that sort of thing. I'm showing my age again. So what are we doing here locally? First of all, when I became a Christian, I was asked to go and do three things. The first one was to go and tell my minister that I'd become a Christian. The second one was I was told to go and tell my family that I had become a Christian. And the third one was to go and tell someone who was not a Christian that I had become a Christian. So which was the easiest one? Tell the minister. Which was the next one? Tell someone else. Well, I told my family, but it took ages to tell my family that I'd become. I was the first Christian in our family. And the last one, to go and tell someone else, was the hardest one. I think it took me 12 months to tell someone at my workplace that I had become a Christian. And I think something about that, and maybe in our Western culture and our psyche, is that this is probably one of the places that we struggle the most. And I wonder, you know, should this be so? So this morning, as I interview these three men here, I pray that it'll be a time of encouragement for all of us as we listen to each of their stories. I have four questions for each of them, so we'll just see how this goes, shall we? So, ready. By the way, Rocky, how many jellyfish are in the sea? How many jellyfish are in the sea? It's a trick question.
A lot of them.
Okay, a lot of jellyfish. Right, I just got these words here, okay. Right. The first question that I'm asking our three gentlemen is, the first one is, can you remember a time in your life where you felt God increase your love for those who didn't know Christ? And how did it happen, and how did you feel? Did you understand that, Rocky? Did you hear that? Yeah.
When I become a Christian, I read my Bible a lot. I've read it from cover to cover many times. And I knew that God commanded us to go out and witness to other people and bring in lost souls. But I wasn't doing it very much. And it would come on my heart to find a way to do this. So I went through the internet and began witnessing to people. You can do it all over around the world that way. And it was kind of easy because I wasn't one-on-one with them. I was hiding behind my computer. But I'd become a friend with them, and I'd start giving them the gospel. And one lady from Fresno, California, after giving her the gospel many times, she accepted Christ. And I said, if you will find a church, a home church, and ask them to baptize you, I'll fly up and witness your baptism. Because I was really excited. It's my first conversion over the internet. And I went, and the pastor invited me for lunch. And he said, Rocky, since you brought her to the feet of Jesus, would you like to help me baptize her? And I said, yeah, that'd be neat. So we went on a beautiful river of living water, and I got to help baptize her, and that hooked me. I said, man, this is neat. I want to do this over and over again. So I've been doing it ever since.
Thank you, Rocky. Would you pass them? Mike.
Yeah, I became a Christian 24 years ago from a non-Christian family, like Bill. About a month after I became a Christian, I had a dream one night about the return of Jesus. And I remember that there was a crowd of people and there was a lot of fear and a lot of commotion, a lot of screaming and whatnot. And when Jesus appeared, I got lifted up off the ground. And as I was heading towards Jesus, I looked back and the last thing I remember was all these people that weren't coming. And I woke up feeling quite grieved that none of these people that I was with were going to experience this joy that I was going to have. And a few months after that, I was reading in Ezekiel how God said to him, go and speak to these people, whether they listen or fail to listen, and warn them of before this happens, warn them to turn from their sins. So I put the dream and that scripture together, and I thought, okay, that's what I need to do. And I've just been trying to, in varying different ways over the last 24 years, outworking that. And so, yeah.
Is this working? Can you hear me?
Can you hear him at the back?
Yes, so my story is a little bit different from Rocky's and Mike's. I have, for most of my life, I consider myself to be a Christian. And have been living the Christian life, going to church, praying, reading the Bible. In fact, I went to a Catholic school where we read the Bible probably several times over. But that didn't really mean much to me when I look back. And I've always wanted and looked at people when they had this experience where they could tell at a time where they became Christians, where they had a revelation from the Holy Spirit and being taken over from darkness to light. But I never experienced that. Everyone I met who was a Christian had could point to a particular time where they became a Christian and were brought by the Holy Spirit into light. But I never had that, and I've always wished for that. But early on this year, I think I had that experience. It was not as lightning bolt kind of experience, but I felt that my eyes were open, the veil was removed, and since then I was able to see things differently. I was able to be truly repentant and to see things within me. The Holy Spirit began to reveal things within me that I needed to repent of. And also, reading the Bible has become different. It's a different book now to me the Holy Spirit speaks to me differently as I read the Bible. So that's my journey so far. So I would say, well, I became a Christian recently after so many years, after, you know, many years of thinking I was a Christian. And I think that's also true for a lot of Christians. We call ourselves Christians, we want to be, but only God, the Holy Spirit, can bring us from darkness into light. And only God can do that, and we cannot do it because we are sinful nature by nature, and we cannot physically bring our body. We naturally like that. But coming to answering the question, the first question about feeling love for someone, I think when it happened to me, I realized that I've joined an army, not a club. And Jesus Christ is our commander, and Jesus Christ has commanded us to go out and proclaim the gospel, and that was his commandment. And we have to obey that command no matter what we feel like, or whether we feel we love that person or not. And the only way we can show that we love people is to proclaim the gospel to them, non-Christians, is to proclaim the gospel to them. That's the only way we can show love to them.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucidi. Well, question number two. How did God lead you into other people's lives so that you could talk to them about Jesus?
I felt like I needed more tools to evangelize and to witness to people, so I attended a 5-day boot camp on evangelism in Oki Bay, and I came back and I found out there was a all-day teaching on laying on of hands and healing people in Levin, and I went to that, and then we went out and practiced it, and we found out it works, and so I came and I gave a report to the healing rooms, and Marilyn Bates suggested that I go out on the street and practice it. So Pauline and I went out, and we had 3 healings and 1 street conversion right there on the sidewalk. We knelt down and prayed with him, and he come to accept Christ. So that's inspired me. We have to step out on our faith. God says it is impossible to please him unless we step out on our faith. And when we do that, he blesses us and he uses us to witness for him. I would encourage each of you to do that. Step out on your faith. Don't stay in a compromising position, and you do not grow in your comfortable state. You have to step out, and then he leads you and guides you and directs you. We have to save lost souls. They're going and dying in hell for an eternity if we don't reach them, and it's our commandment. It's a commandment for us to do this.
Thank you, Rocky. Mike?
About 3 years ago, I started getting interested in a certain people group, and for no apparent reason, wanting to sort of connect with a certain group of people. And so I started praying for an opportunity to meet someone from this culture or this background. And I found myself one day, after a few months of praying, being down at the Hokafiru campus of Massey, and I saw a guy sitting at a bus stop that looked like one of the people I was wanting to reach to. So I asked him where he's from, and he told us. And yes, that was one of the countries. And so I said to him, I'm a Christian, and I'm interested to find out more about your faith and your culture. Would you be willing to meet with me and to talk about these things? And to my surprise, he said yes. And so I was straight up front about the fact that I was a Christian. So I was giving him the opportunity to say no. If it was uncomfortable with that, I wasn't trying to trick him. So he said yes, and then he said, how about, I said, when would you like to, you know, catch up? He said, how about today? And he said, are you free? And I said, well, actually I am. I've finished my work for the day. Where do you live? He lived just up the road from me. So instead of taking the bus home, he came home with me in the van, spent the rest of the afternoon at my place with my family, playing with Andrew and talking about these things of faith. And so that was a journey into this, another world for me. That I'd prayed for, that God had laid on my heart. And, yeah, I could say lots more, but I'll leave that.
Okay. It's a good start. Let's see.
So, my Oh, so what's the question again?
How did God lead you into yes. other people's lives?
Yes. I've had plenty of opportunities, and I feel that God is continually leading people into my life. Everywhere I go, even before I realized that you had to, every Christian has to preach the gospel. And, you know, there are many in my work, especially at home, you know, wherever I go, I've had lots of opportunities where God has led me to people who are struggling internally and also externally. And I've had many opportunities to talk about God to them, or rather to tell them the gospel. And many times I have let the opportunity slide by and realized later that I should have said something about my faith, or maybe have tell them about the gospel. And I think God leads us to give us these opportunities every day, and I get these opportunities all the time. I don't use it all the time because, you know, it's hard sometimes, but it's what we're commanded to do, to preach the gospel. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you, Liz. Liz, just by the way, what's your favorite colored balloon you like?
Blue.
A blue balloon. Oh, that's good. That's really good. That's good. Thank you. We'll go to the next question. What was it like going on this journey with these people?
At first, it was a bit scary, having to step out on faith, wondering how they were going to react, and if they were going to reject me, if I was going to be embarrassed, if I didn't come across properly. But when you step out on your faith and you do what God wants you to do, the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and gives you discernment. Before I go out, I always pray that Father will prepare the hearts of the ones I'm supposed to approach and give me the discernment on who to talk to. And it's worked very well. It's worked very well. I've had very few rejections and several conversions. But you just have to step out on your faith and love God, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't have a compassion for lost souls.
Thank you, Rocky. You love to preach, and you are an evangelist, so it's good to see your heart. Mike.
So the group that I'm sort of working with now are mostly refugees, and Margie knows a good bunch of them, and we often share stories between us over cups of tea and passing ships in the hallway there, Margie. It's for me it's like going back to school again. I had a completely new culture that I had to learn to work with, and I made lots of mistakes and along the way, but it's been good. I'm the sort of person that I like meeting people of different cultures and learning new languages. So I kind of feel like I'm right in my zone. We got invited to lunch one day with a particular family, and Vanessa hadn't really had a lot of involvement with these people before. And initially we thought it was just us coming for lunch, and then more and more people arrived, and then they separated the men and the women, and suddenly Vanessa's in this room with the kids, with a whole lot of women that she doesn't know, and I was quite happy where I was. But yeah, it's you don't need to travel to the other side of the world to do this, and so it's a wonderful journey, and we're learning lots of things, and relying on God a lot more than perhaps I would do if I was witnessing to Kiwi people, because I don't know how these people think, and so I've got to really be prayed up and have people praying for me when I'm in certain places and situations, and that's really important.
Thanks, Mike.
It's amazing how many people will respond positively to the gospel message when you, out of the goodness of your heart and truthfully and lovingly present the gospel to them. There will be rejections, and that's what most people are fearful of. But majority of people, non-Christians, do respond positively to the words of the gospel, which are that we are sinners, that we need to be saved. Only Jesus Christ can save us. We need to carry our cross and count the cost of following Jesus Christ. And those are the words of the gospel. And people respond to that positively, meaning they listen to that. And they're sowing. You're sowing the seeds of the gospel. And only God can grow the seed of the gospel in them. So it's comforting to know that just sowing the seed and leaving it to God. You don't have to bring people to Christ, because you cannot do that. Only God can do that. And it's comforting that only speaking the words of the gospel to people, irrespective of the outcome of what you see, is what we need to be doing. And for me, that's what's been made it easier. It's not always easy. You've got lots of rejections, but that's how it is. And I just wanted to read God's promise. That's in Isaiah 55:10-11. And it says, "For as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And I think that's what we need to do. That's God's word.
Thank you, Lissetti. Mike, you've seen planes and jets in the sky. What sort of noise does a jet make?
Zoom.
Well, Bill, it depends whether you're talking about an F-16 or something else, or a hurricane. But they could make a zoom noise.
That's really good.
I actually really
want
to do
I'll keep you
noise.
On my team. But if you're flying a glider, it makes a nice whistling noise. Sorry about that. I got distracted. So the last question, and then after this, if you have some questions for the three gentlemen here, please start thinking of them. The last question is this. You often hear people in churches saying things like, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." How would you respond to that?
It's extremely important that we let people see Christ in us, because they look for that. If we're being hypocrites, it's going to turn them off. But it's not enough. So doing social work, feeding them, becoming their friend, is fine. It's what I call plowing, preparing the soil. But you have to open your mouth and share the gospel with them so they know what the gospel is and what it takes for a sinner to accept Christ and come to him. It's not enough just to let your light shine upon a hill and not hide it under a basket. You have to learn to share the gospel with them. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think good works often precede good talks, and in my experience, that's over the last 3 years, it's been the case, and particularly a lot of with the refugees, there's a myriad of different things that you can do to do good works. But I'm really happy that we're keeping the next door missional, because I've got a stash of pallets in that back part of the church, and they're for refugee families. And once we've got a big chunk of them there, we'll get some families down there and cut them out and distribute them. And in that process, you get to know families along the way. And one such family rang me one day that I've been giving wood to, and they said, "Can you pick up a bed for us from such and such a place in Calvin Grove, a single bed. So I've got a van. I put the kids to bed, and at 8 o'clock I went round to pick up this bed. I didn't know who the person was whom I was picking it up from. And the guy answered the door. He was an Indian Muslim. And I gave him the greeting that you give to such a person, and his face lit up when I said these words. And he said, come in for a cup of tea. And I said, oh, no, look, I'm just here to pick up the bed, and I need to go. No, come in, I've already made the tea. And in this culture, you can't just walk away. So I came in and sat down, and then this is at 8 o'clock, and somewhere around about 9 o'clock, I looked at my watch, and I thought I should ring this family that I'm supposed to be dropping the bed off to. And at 9:30, I rang them and said, I'm going to be a little bit late. And this guy was peppering me with all sorts of questions, and we had this amazing discussion. And I think around about 10:30, I said to him, I've really got to go and give this bed to these people. And I took the bed down to the refugee family, and somewhere near 11 o'clock, I thought, I'll just leave it in there, inside the doorway, and I don't want to disturb them. And the light came on, they opened the door, and they said, come in for a cup of tea. And I said, it was a Friday night, thankfully, and I said, I'll come in, but I'm not drinking any more tea. And then I proceeded to have another wonderful conversation with them. And what I want to say about mission is it's inconvenient sometimes, and sometimes we just need to let ourselves be inconvenienced, because in those inconveniences, there's an opportunity. And we live in a time-structured culture. I've got a brother here. He's not here at the moment, thankfully, but who I have cups of coffee with every now and then. But he's so time-orientated. One time I was on my way to a cafe to catch up with him, and he rang me and said, shall I order the coffee for you now? And I said, I'm only about 3 minutes away. If you have to order the coffee, order it. But he wanted to get on to the next thing. And so when we're dealing with people, we can't treat them as projects and time-orientated things. We need to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. And in those inconvenienced times, God's there. And so we just got to step out of our structured little time culture and be able to be free. Because when the wind blows, you need to go with it. And you don't know when it's going to blow. So, yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
I had a look at this. It's supposedly been said by St. Francis of Assisi, but looking it up, it appears that it has not been in his writings. And apparently, however, he had a rule book that he wrote about in chapter 17 of his rule 1221. He told his friars not to preach unless they had been received proper permission to do so. That is from the head of their monastery. And then he added, let all the brothers, however, preach by their deeds. And as a result of this misquote, I think millions of Christians have put off evangelism and said, you know, let's just do good deeds and people will see by our deeds. And be converted somehow, but that's not what Saint Francis of Assisi intended. What he wanted was that deeds are very important. You need to plow into people's lives. You need to pray. You need to provide for their needs, needs of the poor. But the main thing is to preach the gospel, and that's what the Franciscan monks and the Franciscans have been doing. It's the main thing. So we need to plow, like what Rocky said and what Mike is doing, but we cannot keep on plowing. If you don't plant a seed, then nothing's going to grow.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, and God tended the soil of that person's heart. Now, is there any questions you would like to ask this wonderful panel of people up front here? Might have to hold on, Alex. Can we send that? Thanks.
One method of evangelism that is quite effective, and I'm sure that you've been using it, is to have suitable books to share with people at appropriate times. Praying over it. It may be a copy of The Cross and the Switchblade. It may be something on creation. But this can also be a means, can't it, of reaching people. It may take a little longer, but in our experience, we've found people who have come to the Lord through that ministry too.
Yes. Mike?
I just encourage everyone here, if they haven't already, have a Bible in your car that you can be ready to give away at any point. I was putting up a sign, I'm a sign writer, and I was putting up a sign down here at Crossroads about a year ago, and the wind was blowing, and it was a thin little plastic sign, and I saw this big Polynesian guy walking down the road, and I thought, he'll do. I said, excuse me, can you help me put this sign up just for a minute? And he said, yep, that's fine. And half an hour later, he was still standing with me on the trestles talking about God. And it was really easy to talk about God because we're putting up a sign about Christmas. And I asked him if he had a faith, and he said, yes, he prays each night for his kids and things. But there were some other things going on in his life that weren't so good, and some gang activity and other stuff. And I had a Bible in my car that I used, my van I used just for myself. And I said, have you got a Bible? No. Do you want this one? Yes. And, you know, in the end, he said to me, I'm so glad I walked down this street today. He was going to go another way back home. And I was going to do that job in the morning. I'm so glad I did it in the afternoon. God had arranged it. So I wrote down some stuff in the Bible, and I rang him later and to see how he got on. And he said he sat there for an hour looking at the Bible, with this sort of war going on in his mind. Should he read it? Should he not read it? And eventually he did, but it was a real battle for that man's soul. And but have a Bible in your car, and if you don't feel like you've got the courage to give it to somebody, and you feel that that's somebody that you should give it to, just, I don't know, leave it wherever. But have that available. Like Les said, God's word doesn't come back void.
Yeah.
And like Alex said, the value of any book is how much it leads us back to the book. And so we need to have pamphlets available. We need to have the word of God and freely to give it. That's what we should be doing here.
Good. Thanks, Alex. Anyone else got a question?
I found that when I started doing evangelism, I just had these tracks about the gospel. That's just the words of the gospel. But then one day I met this lady who had no concept of God. She was from China. And she was amazed. What was I talking about? What is this thing? And I think it's good to have that. I think you're right. To have that, to have something about God to give to people, because I realize that there are many people out there who have no concept of God at all, and just giving them the gospel will not do, because they don't know what this means. So it's good to have to be prepared to plow into people's lives, apologetics, and praying and doing that bit of plowing is good, but eventually. The words of the gospel will have to be preached to people.
Yes, Carl?
Hey, it's really inspiring hearing you guys talk about what you're doing. I guess for me anyway, sitting here, I'm thinking, oh yeah, what could that look like in my life? And like probably a number of people here, tried evangelism here and there, and possibly has gone well, possibly hasn't quite gone so well. And so for you guys, thanks for the great tip about having a Bible in your car. Are there other do's and don'ts that you could recommend, or the opposite of recommend to us, really, to avoid making mistakes or pitfalls that would close off opportunities for the gospel rather than help.
I don't know. I think you learn along the way what to do and what not to do. I think one of the don'ts that I've realized is to approach people when they're very busy. And that can put people off, just approaching them and just pulling people off. Pulling people off the street and say, yeah, here, you know, do you know God, or have you been saved, or and that it's I think that's, for me, that's been a problem, and people just get put off by this guy who just accosts them, you know, from this. And I think you have to have the discernment to, but at the same time, there's that you may miss a lot of people who do not know Christ. So I think with time you learn not what to do and what not to do. But I think when people are very busy, yeah.
I think I'll wrap it up here. But can I have the final word? Is that all right, Rocky? Sir? Can I have the final word?
All right.
Rocky likes the final word. Not everyone is an evangelist. In the scriptures, I think in Ephesians, some are called to be evangelists, some are called to be pastors and teachers and encouragers. Yet, we're all called to be God's light and salt. We're all called to be to go out and do the Great Commission. And I think that when we look at ourselves in this format here as a community, we have so many resources amongst ourselves that God, through the Holy Spirit, has given each one of us to be that light. And he's equipped us with an evangelist, several evangelists, to help encourage us on the journey. The church is not going well in the West. It's not going well. Someone said to me, Bill, I just wouldn't bring people to church. I wouldn't bring them to CB. And I think back to a young lady who said, Bill, would you like to come to church with me? And she had all these fears and tremblings in her heart. And she was thinking, I hope the preacher preaches the right message. I hope the songs are singable. I hope. But it was at that church service that the gospel came alive for me. I would say that if we're fearful of not bringing someone to church or asking them, that's something that you have to, and I have to, deal with in our own hearts with God. But this is the place for community. We're learning to try and be a community in this world that just wants us to be all individuals. Yet once we have people who come in, and then we can share the story, our story, with each of them, and you don't have to do it from the front. You just sit beside them on Sunday morning and say, how are you going? Do you want to come out for a coffee? And then a person like Rob there, who's an apologetic person, he'll give you the A to Z's of how to be a perfect apologist. But we have what God has given us. So let's not hide our light. Let's do all we can to encourage our neighbors, our family, people, our family that do not know Jesus, our neighbors, our workmates. Let's start a conversation. And let's try and introduce them to Jesus. Let us plant a seed and God will do the rest. So I hope this has been a form of encouragement to you this morning. If you've felt, ooh, it's just not been my cup of tea, well, there's still a little bit of growing to go. But that's okay. God's got us at different places on the journey. So I want to thank you very much. And I want to thank Lissetti, Mike and Rocky for your passion to get God's word out. Shall we give them a hand?